Candidly, the benefit of a prayer time like that is when you're a pastor with bad knees, you can start getting up before everybody else does. So everyone doesn't see your struggle on stage. Bonnie, I want to thank you. I think we need more rhythm in our church. We had a clapping incident a few weeks ago. It went very badly. I'm not saying we're spiritually ashamed, but in the heart of rhythm, we did not fulfill our calling for sure. So we're going to bring in Bonnie to have classes. I thought she was going to do the two stomp Grayson Allen, but sorry, I couldn't. I held that back in the first service because the number of Duke fans, there weren't enough Carolina fans in the first service to come along beside me and help me. So I knew in here this was more, I felt more at home. Let's just say that. So thank you so much. Thank you, ladies, for being here. We value you and appreciate your ministry, but we also want to make sure that you know anytime that the doors are open here that you are welcome. We know that you go to a lot of churches and you minister a lot. So if you ever have an opportunity to just come in and join a service, we love the fact that we're family together. So thank you so much for being here. We're going to talk about communication this morning. In fact, we're going to be talking about communication in some different ways over the next few weeks. Next week, we have a unique opportunity. We're going to have some people in our services that have chosen and decided to get baptized. So we are so excited about that. Baptism is a sign of celebration. It's a time to come together and really encourage people for what they're doing in their lives for Christ. So it is going to be a great week. So be here for that. Hopefully next week we'll be bounced back from our time lapses and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you have ever been in a situation like I have where you have realized that you have just said the wrong thing in the moment that you were in. You ask a question you shouldn't have asked. Maybe you have asked some wonderful woman, hey, congratulations, when are you due? And it wasn't the right pregnancy. In fact, it wasn't pregnancy at all. And maybe you have asked, you know, how something's going, and then you realize that thing. Can somebody give me a Kleenex? Because I am struggling up here right now. I got a nose situation. And before, I'm going to wash my hands after I leave this stage. Thank you. Don't touch that because, man, that's, whew. God bless Kleenex. I'll get that later. We do have a few people that leave those around. Yes, we know who you are. So please stop it. But if you've ever been in that situation where you've said the wrong thing, you've asked about something and it has just failed, or maybe you just, in a moment, you struggle. You didn't say anything when you know that something needed to be said. Communication, the words that come out of us, sometimes we approach those as if it's kind of like just a devotional moment with God. But really and truly, the words that come from our mouths, ultimately we know come from our beliefs and from our hearts. And they are so, so significant. Remember, we are created in the image of God. So think about how God works. In His own creation, there was no magic wand. There was no material that He originated and started with. It was the very spoken word that brought into creation and existence everything that exists. The power of God's word is always evident in our lives. Just take a moment that you have in Scripture where you read a verse and you see how God just speaks to you in your heart and it just fills you with everything that you needed. That's the power of God's word. It even says this about Jesus in John, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus, when He arrived on earth, He was the very Word of God. The Word became flesh. God wrapped up His perfect Word and put skin all over it and gave it organs and gave it to us to be here as a Savior and to be the perfect example that we can model our lives by. So many things in God's Word goes back to Word, communication. And our communication has major influence. It says in the Bible that in the power of the tongue exists both life and death. Have you ever known somebody and you have maintained them as a friend just because of the kind of encouragement that you know that they offer? When they speak to you, they just speak words of life into you. You don't ever leave a conversation with them without feeling so much better. It's the power of life. But we also have all experienced moments, whether it was someone else or ourselves, and even in just a few words, we've realized the power of death because someone's reputation, someone's relationship, someone's something, feelings maybe, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can exceptionally hurt me. We realize the power of death. A lot of times, maybe we don't think so much about our communication. It's so easy to communicate in our society. We literally can express something and just hit a button called send, and it goes wherever we send it, like we're commanding it. We post stuff in social media that's just out there, and it's communication to whoever grabs it and reads it. There's some statements in the Bible and there's some passages in the Bible that help us to understand not just how important our communication is, but really kind of what is the gospel-centered vision statement for what our communication should be like. We're going to read that verse. That verse is in Ephesians 4. But we're going to start out in James this morning. We're also going to look at a story in the book of Genesis, because what I really want you to see this morning, what I pray that you see is how important your conversations, your words, your tones, all this stuff, how important they are, but also at the same time, how important that is when we unify together and the power that God can achieve in all that. And when I say I hope you, trust me, this as I've been studying this, I want to share some things from my life with you as well and some areas that I feel like God has challenged me in, and I think we can all relate to many of these. I want to start in James chapter 3, verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2, it says this, "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature." Now, this is not a verse written just exclusively to men. It's a gender reference in here, but this is applicable to every one of us. "That person who is mature is able also to control the whole body." Now, I want you to think about something for a second. This verse is putting out to us this idea that if we can control the words that come out of our mouths, then we can control basically anything about us that we would want to control. This word says if we have this kind of control, we are called mature. Now, as you talk about maturing, there's different signs of maturity. I engage in a lot of conversations with my kids because I enjoy knowing what is going on at their age level, in their school, in their culture. I spent years of my life in youth ministry. I did things like lock-ins. In fact, I was part of the first lock-in that happened here when I came here. Not that it was the first, but the first one I was around for. I was there for that one. I was not here for this past one. I gotta be honest with you. Life on the other side of a lock-in, there's rainbows and there's fairy dust and there's buckets of gold. I'm just kidding. Lock-ins are awesome things, and we appreciate the dedication of Dale as youth pastor and if all the leaders that did that and everybody that participates. And I would encourage you to participate in any level of student ministry here you can, please. But as we consider maturing in the different signs, I talked to my son about a lot of different things that go on at school. I asked my son, who's dating who? Because I'm nosy? No, I want to know what the dating culture is at their school. I want to know what's talked about. I'm not trying to get in the middle of people's lives. I'm trying to understand what my son is hearing and going through every day because I want to help encourage him and equip him to be a Jesus follower. We had a funny conversation the other day, and we were talking about different things, and if you ever rode in the car with me and my sons, there's certain conversations that we have just us four guys in the car that we don't have anywhere else. And one of the conversations we were talking about was some guys at school. You know that grade, whatever that grade is, that you start to grow some level of stash-ish thing on your face, and it's there and stuff, and my son was telling me, he said, you know, Daddy, said it's kind of funny. Brian's patting a couple guys in the back right here. He said, you know, it's kind of funny. He said, you know, there's some guys, he said, it's like you can see these real just single straight hairs coming out. And it's just all there. And so I said, all right, fellas, I said, let's just have a conversation right now. If any of you start growing that or shaving it immediately, I'm not going to let you go down like that socially, okay? You're my sons and I love you, all right? So as we talk about this, we, you know, of course, you know, dad and sons were kind of joking. And then my middle son, the family theologian from the back seat, Tyler, says, "You know what, Dad? I don't want a mustache like that." I'm like, "Well, you know, son, nobody wants a mustache like that." He said, "No, I just want the appropriate amount of stubble." What 10-year-old has a goal of an appropriate amount of stubble? I don't understand this, but it's what his goal is. But we laugh about that, but we realize, especially us guys, we realize that's the stuff called maturing, or this amazing word called puberty, right? Signs that your body is changing and stuff's happening because you're getting older and you're maturing. If you're in puberty now, we're sorry, and we pray for you as a ministry. Our heart goes out to you. We reserve the right to make fun of you through it because it happened to us too, but we realize there's signs of maturity. For some of us, many of us, we've gone through several of those. Driver's license, graduations, marriage ceremonies, college graduations, new jobs. So many different things that supposedly are signs of maturity. The Bible says that there are measuring sticks for maturity. A major one, are the words that come out of our mouth. Major. I mean, when the Bible says this is a matter of life and death, I think we have to go, this must be serious. Later in the book of James, just a few verses down in verse 6, it says this, "And the tongue is a fire." Now, verse 6 is a little tough to translate from a flow standpoint because verse 6 has about half of what it had already been talked about, and then it starts a little bit of a new subject thought. But it says this, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body. It sets the course of life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. This verse sounds like, why in the world, God, did you even allow us to have this thing called a mouth that could let words and sounds out? But I want you to think about something. Before this verse, it talks about how the tongue, this thing that represents our speech, as small as a bit that goes in a horse's mouth or as small as a rudder that directs a huge ship, this one small thing, this thing that seems so maybe insignificant, maybe we don't give it enough importance, it controls so much. One small rudder on an amazingly huge ship that has people on it, life on it, it controls the direction that it goes. And in many ways, the words that we say control the directions our conversations go, our testimonies go, our relationships go, and all those things. But it says that the tongue is fire. Now, is that totally bad? Well, let's think about it. In your house, if you have a fireplace and a fire is built inside of it, it gives you warmth. If you have a wood stove, you could cook on top of it, and the fire creates enough heat to give you nourishment. If you put a fire in certain things, like a train, it can fuel the train with enough energy to move it forward. In many ways, that's the design that God has for our words, our speech, our conversations. They're supposed to give warmth, encouragement. They're supposed to speak life, give nourishment, words that we need to grow spiritually and make decisions in life. It's also meant that our words should be encouraging and should be gospel-centered so that life and others' lives move forward with that gospel momentum to it. But a fire out of control that's in a forest destroys everything. We had a family in church that just weeks ago, Troy's father, it was shared that his parents lost their house to a fire. It just went up super fast. They lost their home and all these things that were so important to them. Words can destroy just as fast. There's this huge weight put on our conversations, which seems crazy. You're like, God, is it really that big a deal about what I say and how I say it on a regular basis? God's answer to that is yes. And not even just us individually. Scripture tells us how, as individuals, when we come together, it's not just the words that I say that affect other people, it's also the language that's around me that affects what I become a part of. I'd love to read you the story. It's out of Genesis chapter 11. If you grew up on flannel graphs and Sunday schools and stuff like that, it's the Tower of Babel. You heard the story the same way I did. Babel, or as it's translated in some translations, Babylon, it means confusion. It means confusion because language in this moment brought about an idea that opposed God, but also then in response, God brought about intentionally confusion so that they wouldn't get so far from him so fast. Genesis chapter 11, it starts this way. The whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. As people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let us make oven-fired bricks. They used brick for stone and asphalt and mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered throughout the earth. There's a group of people that came together that wanted to build a name for themselves. You know, the Bible's clear about what our call is as Christians. In Mark, it says that we're supposed to make the name of Jesus known and famous. But these people came together and they said, look, we're speaking the same language. We're in agreement. We're communicating super well together. So what are we going to do with that power of communication? Let's build something that is uniquely us. Let's have a name. Let's be remembered. Let's build a kingdom for us. So they start literally building a tower. They want to see how high they can build it so that people will recognize them. In essence, this is what the decision that had been made. We want us to be known so greatly that it's simply not important to acknowledge God fully or even partly. You know, this is where many churches really get off track. When we as the church come together and we start to make the name of what is on a sign great and we don't fully promote the name of Jesus, we're in a very dangerous place. Because we're about to see God in these moments says that I'll take my hand of protection and I'll take my hand off of you and I'll bring about things that will cause confusion. Confusion will run rampant. When we make a name for ourselves, sometimes we lose the protection that is over our families, not just our church, over our relationships, our job, not just our church. Verse 5 says this, then the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the humans were building. The Lord said, if they have begun to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down there and confuse their language, so they will not understand one another's speech. So from there the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore it is called Babylon, for there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from the Lord they scattered them throughout the earth. You know, I heard this story as a kid, and I thought, okay, this story must just be in the Bible for us to know where foreign languages came from. And that's not at its core the purpose of that story. It's not the purpose of that real life event that happened. See, understand, God said this about those people. He said, you're so unified. You speak the same language. You agree with each other to such an extent that there's nothing that you can't achieve. So consider this. Consider this. The people that you are connected to in your life, if the common language starts to pull you or me or anybody that we're connected with, if it starts to pull people away from God and towards sin, God's not promising that when people move together towards sin that they'll fail. He's actually saying and acknowledging that because we are created in God's image, there is something about us that does unify together, and if we seek our goals, that we'll achieve them. That includes sinful goals. There's many times that we can all attest to that we went after sin and we found it. And it gets super, super dangerous when it's not just us in pursuit, but it's the people that we're with too. Think about it. If the conversation within a group of people is consistently tearing someone else down, what's the effect? What do you accomplish? That person gets torn down much worse, and reputationally they lose more with more and more and more people. If there is something that you're struggling with and it's a sin issue, but you invest and commit into people that in their common language they are for and promoting and seeking that sin, what do we typically end up falling into? That same sin. God acknowledges the power of communication because after all, He's the one that created it for us. He uses it in its full power, but He uses it in a perfect way. Think about Acts chapter 2. When there were multiple languages present, as an effect of this event, He unifies them with the gospel message through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, unity in this earth only comes through Jesus Christ, unity of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that any of us have a commonality with each other truly. And it's based on the Holy Spirit that we're supposed to come together. In this story, I want you to think about that. The power of what was destroyed just out of common language. Story again, it's not about just how we speak Spanish and French and English. This is about the effect that people can have in our lives as we connect to them and we're pursuing the same things, especially with our words. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have a verse, it's verse 29, and it really does present to us a Christian vision statement for what our communication is supposed to be like. It really does, and it presents it in an unbelievable way. Verse 29 says this, "No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those that hear." See, I talked about this last week. The Bible does this so perfectly for us. So many times, what God does in His Word is He doesn't just come say, "Hey, you should not do this." I don't know why people use a deeper voice when they talk about God, but it just seems natural. "You should not do this." God says, "Yes, this is a sin. Don't do this." But then He says, "Hey, this is righteousness. This is good. Do this." And then, here's why. Don't you love the fact that we have a Heavenly Father that wants us to understand why in many ways? How many times in this life do we just get told, "You just got to do something"? God has no problem telling us what the purpose is. It's just we have to be mature enough to realize that the purpose is giving attention, honor, and praise and glorifying the Father above. That is the purpose that the world was created for. It was not created solely for our enjoyment. Eternity will prove that. We will find our enjoyment completely in Jesus Christ. And the more that we do that on earth, we experience heaven here. Now, in this verse, there's a very simple statement that I want you to really take from this message. And it is this. What we don't say is as much of being Christ followers as what we do say. What we don't say is just as much about being a Christ follower as what we don't say. This verse gave us the what not to do, the what to do, and then the why. Now, I don't know about you, but if I just made a decision, okay, I'm just going to speak the right way. If I just try to jump into that, I'm going to really struggle my way through it. It's very interesting to me that God, through perfect inspiration, starts us off with, we need to have conversations about what needs to leave your vocabulary, your list of words, your list of speech. Because there is always an inherent danger, when it comes to our words. Someone's feelings can always get hurt. But when our words are used in a way that honors God, then we have the opportunity to see birth given to this idea of hope. So what do we not say? What needs to leave? Some of you, there might be words that just drive you crazy, like you hate to hear someone say it. When I used to be a youth pastor, I had a youth leader, and she had about four words that she just detested. And I, every so often, I would say one of them. They weren't curse words or anything like that, but I would say one of them, and I could just see her whole countenance just change. It just completely just, ugh. You may have been that at some point in your life, or I may have been in those same shoes. Maybe instead of a word, when we heard a certain person's name, they had hurt us so much, just everything changed when we heard that name. See, there are certain words and certain ways we say things that offend us. It doesn't just have to be the list of four-letter words that we secretly memorize as elementary school students. It can even just be the tone by which we speak. You know, when Wendy and I got married, I came from a long line of very successful yellers. That's what we did. That's how we argued. We believed that was the only way to argue. We felt like if we yelled at you, that's your invitation to yell back at us. That's how we settle things. Loudest wins. You ever been in those moments? Some of y'all like them. That's good. So, and when we began to disagree, my volume level would go up. And then I started to notice, that's when I started figuring out, that's when she starts shutting down. See, Wendy came from this family that had this really weird tradition about just being nice to each other. I didn't get it. I mean, I thought they were on television, right? I mean, I thought those families existed there, but I didn't realize there were real ones. And she came from one of them. Of course, that's who I get, you know, that's who I end up marrying. And it took me a while to realize that it wasn't the words I was using, it was the tone that I was using that was so offensive that nothing good could be heard after it. See, many times even as Christians, we really harm the gospel message. We don't make it null and void, but we harm people hearing it. We hinder people hearing it because of what offensive things we lead off with. Recently, I've noticed this. My tone, not just with Wendy, but my tone is something that I have to change. Thank you, Bonnie. I've got to change it. She amen. She's heard the story once. In her defense, she has every right to amen. Recently, as I have been getting on my kids about stuff, and that's kind of what I tend to do is get on them about stuff, and I noticed that my middle son, Tyler, real quickly recently, is just trying to say, I'm sorry real fast. What I'm realizing is that in those moments, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm not obeying the word. And my tone is bringing death to his spirit and his life because he's so concerned about wanting to have a good relationship with his dad that he'll just say something in response, which means that he's not listening to me and hearing me, and I'm not communicating effectively. So if I have something important to say, if it's of great spiritual consequence, I have to be aware that he's not hearing it because all he's trying to get out is just enough I'm sorry's to change my tone. As Christians, as gospel carriers and gospel messengers, whether it's our kids at home, whether it is someone we work with, whether it's a family member, whether it's the church community, we have to understand that there are some things and then there are some tones that have to leave us. We have to stop because it won't destroy the gospel, but it's making the kingdom of God look so unattractive to outsiders. And we know what these things are. We're as self-aware as I am about making my son apologize so fast. It's really the first step. Because what we should say, the Bible is full of it. We've memorized so much of it. But our part in it tends to be the stuff that needs to stop being said. Because here's the thing. What we say plus what we do equals our consistency, our testimony. Did you hear that? What we say plus what we do equals how consistent our testimony is. Our testimony, our call to be the light to the world, Jesus with skin on us too, living our lives so that people understand what the gospel message is. What we say and what we do means something. It matters. Because as it says in James, it uses this example. It says, how can fresh water and salt water come out of the same water source? It has to be one or the other. It can't be both separately. I can't be a preacher that preaches on stage and be a dad that is mean to his kids and his tone is hurting his kids. I can't be one person but equally be both. It's called hypocrisy. I can try it, I can attempt it, but if I'm going to be who God's calling to be, I can't exist like that. We can't say that we're a Jesus follower, then go live completely opposite in front of other people. I mean, we do it, but we have to understand we can't. We cannot do that. I want you to listen to this verse with me. Ephesians 4, verse 13 says this, But speaking the truth in love, you could also translate that word grace, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. There's a growing process to being a Christian, being a Jesus follower. We start young and completely dependent on other people. When someone gets saved, they need to meet with somebody on a very regular basis. As we mature in Christ, we can sustain ourselves completely sometimes. We never get completely just self-sustained. We have to be connected in community, but we can also sustain ourselves on our quiet time, on our meditation time, and our time alone with God. We don't need as much guidance in all of those alone type areas. We always need both. But there is an obvious growing phase as we go through this Christian life. And it says in here that as we mature, a sign of growth, a step into growth, a step into maturity is when we have both truth and grace. Because our lives are supposed to be modeled against Jesus. We do a fantastic job as Christians sometimes with making a statement like this. Now, I'm just going to be honest. Right before we say something that is not very Jesus-like, it's as if we're giving it like a God blessing. Like, you know what? This is a freebie. Everything that follows this statement is automatically pre-forgiven. But we say that, why? Because we want to feel better about what we're saying, even though we know on some level it has some truth in it, but maybe it has a sinful tone to it. See, the Bible says that Jesus was full of truth and grace. So many times as you read the Gospels, you see that it's not just in what Jesus says, but it's in what He doesn't say to people many times. He had every right to, but He couldn't do it freely in both love and truth. So for us to follow Him, we have to start considering. We start to have conversations. Because if you just try to come up with your own list on your own, our lists are going to be pretty short. We need to ask other people, what is it that needs to leave my conversations? What is it that needs to change about my tone? What would allow me to be heard as a Jesus follower more clearly and less of just me? That's a tough question to ask. It's real tough to ask. So I guess it really does come down to, how much do we think hinges on the words that we say? How much? We know that we should share the gospel, but what other messages do the people around us hear as we're sharing it? Are we sharing the gospel in certain avenues of our life? Are we consistent there, but in other times, maybe in a restaurant where other people are just around and they can hear our conversations, or at work when we're just around a couple of people instead of everybody that's eating lunch together, just with our spouse? Are we saying things, and is there language there that's actually contradicting the message of the gospel? You may not think that God has given you a prominent place, but to whatever level you have a voice and you have conversations, God has given you and He has given me a mission field moment that has life and death implications. It's the truth of the Bible. It's the truth of the gospel. Would you bow your heads for just a second? When I say that your conversations have life and death implications, I don't want to depress you. I don't want to make you fearful to speak up or to have fun or to have joyful conversations, to tell jokes, to do stuff like that. But I say that to raise an awareness within us that God has a purpose and a plan for everything about us, everything in our lives. And if we are created in God's image and we realize that even just out of God's own acts, that He just uses words to create, that surely in His image, our conversations have incredible significance. many people in this room have some of the greatest experiences of life. You have so much wisdom to share with someone. So many people in this room, you have hearts that care so deeply, and you serve people so well, and you're just so easy to talk to. Some people in this room, you're quiet. You're hard to get to know. But many people in your life have found out that once they get to know you, that there is a source of encouragement, a well that springs up love. All of us have a purpose. Our purpose at its core is to follow Christ, to be the light in this world that points people to Him. We do that with our mouths. We do that with our tongues, the words that come out. But in a growing moment this morning, in a maturing moment this morning, it's worth asking, what else are we saying? What else are we meaning? What other tones do we have? It is a great thing to share the gospel. It is a better thing to be the gospel. Moment by moment, conversation by conversation. Many times in my life, my words show my insecurities. I talk a lot about my failures and what I do wrong, which is, again, it's a sign of immaturity. It's a sign that says, Derek, you have not grown enough in the image of who God says you are. You haven't fully embraced your identity in Jesus, because it's Him that accomplishes great things. I tell you that to show you this. What we say really is a measurement of our maturity. So how are you doing this morning? If this is a check-in, if this is a check-up, how are things going? We would love to have these conversations with you. There are people in your life that would have these conversations with you. But consider as we pray this morning, what's the significance of the words that you use, that you say, that you give? If you say, you know what, Derek, I get it. Conversations are a big deal. I need to be nicer. But you just don't see the purpose. You don't see really what the big deal is. Then I'd like to propose this to you. The big deal is having a good relationship, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And if you don't quite see the big deal yet, I would love to have a conversation with you, many people here would, about what it means to really know that you have a relationship with God, that you believe in Jesus, and that you have given your life over in your will and in your decisions to Him as Lord. In other words, He is leading instead of me. One prayer changes our status in knowing God. And we'd love to show you what the Bible says about that prayer this morning. You could pray that on your own, but we want to celebrate it with you. We want to help you walk through new and next steps. God, thank you so much for the time that we have. God, thank you that we get to worship you. We get to honor you. Lord, help us today to realize the value and the importance of the words that we speak. Thank you for giving us influence that we don't even realize we have. God, we have been called to make disciples, to teach other people to obey all that you've commanded. So God, as we teach those lessons, as we give that advice, as we live our lives, as we make our decisions, we are not just teaching other people, we are informing them what we truly think is important. And we're communicating to them in so many ways, verbally and non-verbally, who we really see Jesus as. So God, help us to weigh in the balance this morning as Christians, as people that want to follow Jesus, that have committed their lives to Him. What is the importance of our words? God, I thank you for the testimonies that were shared here this morning. But God, help us to not draw lines around boxed-in moments where we share a testimony in front of a church, but help us to widen the scope of our vision to realize that every conversation, every word has life and death implications. That it's a sign of how we're growing in you. So God, this morning, help this to feel like a checkup. Help this to feel like a little bit of an examination of how we're growing. God, in the moments that we sing now, Lord, we pray that we are hearing you about how we can live better for you. God, if anyone needs to begin a relationship with you today, we pray that you also give them not just that desire and that understanding, but the spirit of boldness to come forward. We ask, God, in the moments while we pray, that if anyone needs to come up and to bow at your feet, to hear from you, God, to speak to you, to use valuable time with their words to communicate, God, to your heart, God, we pray that they do that freely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we stand and sing. Amen. Would you stand and sing and worship at this time, please?
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens. Now we receive the Spirit of God. And with great anticipation, we await the promise to come. Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done.
You know about a couple things before we leave. We're going to take our offering up in just a second. We mentioned this last week. We have info cards that are out. There's also links online. The links online really help. We can import information a little bit easier and quicker that way. We're taking a month to update all the contact information. Many things come up and we need to contact someone to check in on them, or something in an emergency situation happens. So thank you so much for this month for taking time to update your information with us. After you leave the service, if you miss the opportunity between our services, some of our leaders that are leading community groups, I know especially Michael and Angela are going to be out there in the lobby. They'd love to talk to you about those semester groups. I'm going to be teaching one. It's going to be on Wednesday nights here. It's going to be a pastor study class. It's about 10 to 12 people. That's going to be added to the website this week. It's on the form that's out there now. I'd love to see you in that. So there's space in these, but space is filling up, so we want to get you connected as soon as we can. So please talk to them today. It's not in the bulletin. On the 27th, seniors, we're going to be doing breakfast. Thank you so much for bringing in the items that we're going to be dropping off to Hannah's Haven on those donations. You can continue to bring those in this week until Wednesday. And also, there were some notes in the seats this week. Today, you can start beginning to sign up to volunteer for our Easter egg hunt. And also, there'll be reminders. We need bags of small prizes and candy to give to all the kids as they come in. We just want to load them up with stuff and let them leave here going, man, those people are crazy in love with me. And we're going to tell them that we love Jesus too. And we've got some things that they're going to be able to do while they're here that's not just finding candy, but it's some crafts that help them understand the gospel in a tangible way. So we want to be part of that together as a church. If the ushers go ahead and come up front. Also, if Scott and Tatiana, if y'all would too come up front, please. Scott and Tatiana Smith are coming, and we're happy to present them as members of the church this morning. So if you will, please clap for them. If y'all will, just slide in right here. Scott and Tatiana are just an amazing couple. Tatiana just absolutely has the most amazing desire to just really not just dig into Scripture, but to really ask just honest and genuine questions to deepen her and others' understanding. And it is such an amazing thing to see. Scott, I've been able to be around Scott in our men's Bible study and in so many different areas of church, and just so thankful for when Scott actually just recovered from a very significant knee injury and surgery. We're not sure what he said to Tatiana, but again, there are certain things that you don't need to say. We've already covered that today. Scott, I apologize. We should have preached that earlier. But he did. He had an accident and within their neighborhood, and we just praise God that he's allowed him to come through all that stuff, and they're looking forward to getting back on schedule with all the fun things that they have planned in their life. So we want to not just introduce them to you, but also please take a chance over the next few weeks, especially if you hadn't had a chance to meet Scott and Tatiana, to introduce yourself to them, but also to pray for them as they work and as they live in our community, that God will increase their influence, that he will bless them financially so they can just be generous givers like they already are, but also just for their families. They both have children, and they have wonderful kids that they have, and they have wonderful families they're attached to. I've heard so many amazing things about all of them. So we just want to make sure that you also pray for them as well, okay? So let's pray. At this time, we're going to pray a blessing over them, but also as we take up our offering. God, thank you so much for Scott and Tatiana. We just ask, God, that you continue to bless them. Lord, bless their marriage. Allow them to be a couple that communicates in love and grace with each other. Bless their intimacy, God, in conversations and just in every area of their life, Lord. We ask that you bless them financially in their jobs. Lord, put them in places where they can not just make money for themselves, but I know as their heart is to build the kingdom, to be generous to needs that they find out about in their community, in their church, in their families. And Lord, just where they live, in the house that they live on, God, on the corner, we ask that as that neighborhood goes in and out and is involved in so many things in their personal lives, God, we allow you just to, we ask God, do you just put a light over their house? God, just the spirit in people that they know that they can come by and they can talk to them. They can have conversations because Scott and Tatiana love them and they love Jesus and they're excited about telling them about Jesus, the one that they serve, the Savior that they know. So God, we thank you for making our church and our family stronger because the gifts that you've given Scott and Tatiana can be used here. And God, we ask that our church just continues to build the kingdom. God, as you instruct us to, with people, day by day, God, in our lives. Lord, we ask that you bless as we give right now. Help us to be generous as you are generous, God. Help, Lord, just take these finances that come in. Use them in great ways, God, as we give to ministries like Hannah's Haven and in the coming weeks. God, we ask that you just bless our lives financially, bless our hearts with the burden to give, and Lord, let it all be to build your kingdom and make the name of Jesus famous. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, thank you all.
I did this in the first service, and we're going to do it again. I think the you guys, y'all have been here for two services this morning. You're going to find out real quick that neither Derek or myself do the same thing twice. It's how the Spirit goes, you know. So let's testify this morning. Amen. We're going to do Chain Breaker again. You've heard it. You know it. I know you know it before now, but you're woke up a little bit, I hope, anyway. So let's sing this song together, and let's get excited. Amen. Okay, what about the other half of you?
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lie, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain,
come on.
He's a pain taker.
Woo!
Feel lost. He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day and the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out by the same old fight. We've all run from things we know that just ain't right. But there's a better life. Ain't it right? There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe, if you receive it, if you can't be somebody testify. Come on, honey. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't be somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel alone, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking sailor. You got chains, he's a chain breaker.
I want to hear everybody say it once.
If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Don't you ever forget it. Y'all go out, go change the world, share the love of Jesus. And bring somebody next week. Testify. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful week. Go change the world. confused.